Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. Today, as we look together at God's Word, we'll be focusing our attention on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, a short passage today, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word. I'll read the passage, and then it'll be over to Beck with the children's talk. So, if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then it'll be back to me for the sermon. So let's pray. Our Father and our God, as our Lord Jesus said, your word is truth. We are blessed to have your word because it tells us about you, your love, your ways, your gospel, and it reveals to us the way you desire us to live. Is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. May we treasure your word as more valuable than gold and sweeter than honey on the comb. Give us listening ears and soft hearts that we would be people who are humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And now, it's over to Beck with the children's talk.
Hello everyone, Beck Walls here from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I'm here with my kids again, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Now, do any of you like to play games?
Yes.
I thought so. Let's play a game of Simon Says. And all those people listening along at home can play too. Do you remember how to play?
Yes.
Yeah? If I say Simon says, then you do whatever it is that I'm telling you to do. But if I don't say Simon says, then you just ignore what I say. Okay? Here we go. You'll need to stand up for this. Here we go. Simon says, fingers on noses. Simon says, rub your tummy. Simon says, hop on one leg. Simon says, crow like a rooster.
Grow.
Oh, that was the worst rooster sound in the world.
I don't know.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Simon says, hands on heads. Hands up in the air. Ah, Hannah's out. I didn't say Simon Says. Simon says, touch your toes. Simon says, make a funny face. Simon says, stand on one leg. Clap your hands. Ellie, you're out. I didn't say Simon Says. Well done, Kai. You're our winner today.
Can I go?
No, we can play that again another time. We're going to sit down now. Okay. Well done, guys. You played well. You listened to the instructions and you did what you were told. Sometimes you did it even when you shouldn't have. It's very important in that game to listen carefully to the instructions, isn't it? You need to listen carefully and you need to obey what Simon says. And there are consequences if you get it wrong. Aren't there? You're out of the game if you don't follow the instructions and obey. Now, kids, the Bible reading today is a very special one. All of the Bible is special, but this passage in particular is one of the very few passages that speaks directly to you guys. It talks to children. It's got important stuff in it for mums and dads and other grown-ups too. But this passage is primarily written to you. I wonder if you can read this bit of the Bible out for us, Kai.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land.
What does the Bible tell you, as kids, to do? From that
honor
verse.
Your father and mother.
Yeah, that's right. And it tells you to obey your parents. Do you know what that means?
Yes. Do what your parents say.
That's right. It means to listen to your parents and to do what they say. To honour them means to respect them and not to grumble or complain or call them nasty things when they tell you not to do something that you don't like. That's the biggest way you kids can show the people around you that you are loving and trusting Jesus. When you love and trust Jesus, you obey him. And Jesus commands kids in this passage of the Bible to obey their parents. God says to listen and obey your parents, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Just like in Simon Says, if you follow the instructions, there are rewards. You win the game. And in real life, when you obey God, there are good blessings that flow from that. And the best way for you guys to obey God, that's to obey your parents. I know that it's hard sometimes. I know that Mum and Dad don't always ask you to do things that are fun or easy. I know sometimes you'd prefer to do things your own way instead of their way. I know that even when you do love God, you'll still mess up sometimes and choose to do things your own way. We know that, and God knows that too. And we still love you, and God still loves you too. The good news is that Jesus died to save you from your sins. Jesus took the punishment that you deserve for not always obeying perfectly, so that God doesn't have to be angry with you anymore. And if you trust in Jesus' death on the cross, you get to go free and get all the blessings that Jesus deserves. But it's important to remember that the way you show that you really love Jesus and trust in his death on the cross is to try to obey him. And that means obeying your parents, even when it's tough. It's not the way we earn friendship with God, but it's the way we should behave if we are already friends with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for us so that we can be friends with you. Please help us to show that we love you by obeying you and by obeying our parents. Give us your Holy Spirit to help us to do this really difficult thing. Amen.
Amen.
Like most parents around the world, we're now schooling our kids from home. And when I say we, I mostly mean Beck. While I'm busy with church things, she's busy with the kids, teaching the older two, trying to entertain the youngest. We're thankful for the kids at school. They've done a great job adjusting to this new way of doing things. For the longest time, I never even contemplated homeschooling. I grew up in the public school system and was happy in it. I thought that's where I'd end up sending my kids. But a lot has changed. It's not only apathetic to Christian beliefs and morality, but it now completely rejects Christian teaching, especially in the area of sexuality and gender, but in other areas too. We weren't happy to send our kids to the public school, and we're thankful we were able to send them to one of the Christian schools in Bendigo. But for a time, we were considering homeschooling. But now we've been forced into schooling at home, like so many others. Our home has become a place of learning, reading, writing, maths, French. But Actually, that sentence isn't quite right. It's not that our home has become a place of learning. Really, our home has become a more formalized place of learning. Because homes are always places of learning, and Christian homes especially should be places of learning. That's how God made them. That's what Paul says here. He talks to children and parents, giving them instructions for how they should be relating to one another. But at the core of his message is this understanding of what the family should be. According to Paul, the family is the first gospel school. And that leads to how those in the family should relate to one another. If the family is the first gospel school, Paul says in verses 1 to 3 that children should obey their parents. And in verse 4, he says that fathers should teach their children. This is relevant for all of us because it has something to say about how we should be relating to our parents and children, but also how the church should be involved in the raising of children. The family is the first gospel school. How this applies will be different for all of us, but Paul says in verses 1 to 3, our first heading, children, obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Amazing! In this ancient society, Paul addresses children directly. Paul reminds me of Jesus, who took a child in his arms and told the disciples to be like the child. Think of what this means. It assumes that they're part of the church. Little Claudius had walked with his father and mother to the house of their friend, where the church was gathering. And he stayed with his father and mother while they sang and read the scriptures. And he was there when the elder began to teach, while prayers were said, while this letter was read, and while they sang again. This child was there for all of it. He was part of the church, there for its worship. And he was addressed directly by the words of Paul. This is part of the reason why, at our church, we have the children in for all of the service. We have a Sunday school before the service instead of during. Other churches prefer to do it during the service, and that's fine, but we're trying to reflect as best we can this reality, that Paul assumed that they were there while the letter was being read. That's why we have a children's talk during the service. We want to love them by teaching them at their level. It's why sometimes during the sermon I'll address them specifically, because we want to train them that the sermon isn't just for grown-ups, it's for them too. Children are part of the church. And see what he says to them. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In every society, at every time, it's natural for children to be expected to obey their parents. There's a natural order in the family. Children are to obey their parents. This is right. And it's part of the Ten Commandments. Paul expects the children of the church to obey the Ten Commandments. They're not pagans. They're part of the church community even before they express faith. This is part of the reason we baptize our babies, to welcome them into the community of God's people. But that's a sermon for another day. And they obey in the Lord. Kids, listen up. Did you know that it's not just your parents who want you to obey them? Every single word that Paul wrote is the word that God wanted him to write. And so God wants you to obey your parents. This is one way for you to worship God. You can worship God by singing songs to him and by telling him how amazing he is. But here's another special way that you can worship God. by obeying your parents. I know, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes the rules or the decisions, they don't seem fair. But whether you're in primary school or high school, God has put your parents in charge. See, they represent Him. As you obey them, you're obeying Him. It's your act of worship. The family is where you first start to learn what it means to be a Christian. Not only to be forgiven by God, but to live for Him. So pray that God would help you to obey without complaining. Even when it seems unfair or silly, pray that God would help you to obey. And pray that God would forgive you when you rebel, complain, yell, scream. Ask your parents to forgive you. Hopefully, they'll say sorry if they yelled and screamed too. And if you're trusting in Jesus, He will forgive you, because Jesus died so you could be forgiven. And if you're trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside you, and He's there to help you obey your parents. So ask God for help. God knows that you're not perfect, and so do your parents. But this is one way that you can worship God. Obey God by obeying your parents. This looks different as you get older. You'll get more freedom. But while you're living with your parents, obey. If you're out of the family home, maybe you've even gotten married and started a new family unit yourself, the dynamic has changed. Paul's already quoted Genesis 2:24, that a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. There's a new family. If you're in that situation, then while obey doesn't apply to you anymore, you should still honour them. Don't criticise them or mock them. Care for them. As they grow older, take care of them. Visit them. Talk to them. This will take wisdom and might look different from family to family, but children, obey. Honour. This is your worship to the Lord as they rule you under Him. The family is the first gospel school where children learn about their sin, forgiveness, and what it means to live under God's authority. In this first gospel school, Paul wants children to obey. And in verse 4, our second heading, he says, "Fathers, teach." Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's legitimate to broaden our gaze and include mothers here. It's not as if fathers shouldn't provoke their children to anger, but mothers can. And isn't it interesting that once again, as one group is said to have authority over another, that authority is limited. Husbands are told to love their wives like Christ loved the church, a high demand, and one that should expose our sin and lead us to begging for forgiveness from our wives and Christ every day. And here, children are to obey their parents, and parents aren't to provoke them to anger. Why not? Well, Paul adds in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." What does it mean to provoke our children? How would that discourage them? Listen to this explanation from John Stott. Parents can easily misuse their authority, either by making irritating or unreasonable demands which make no allowances for the inexperience and immaturity of children, or by harshness and cruelty at one extreme, or favouritism and overindulgence at the other, or by humiliating or suppressing them, or by those two vindictive weapons, sarcasm and ridicule. parents. I wonder if you can see yourself in any of those descriptions. Proverbs tells us, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. But are we too quick to discipline? Too harsh? Do they just need to be left alone sometimes? Jacob and Esau were victims of favoritism. Are we unfair to our children? Do we forget that we are sinful? And when we see sin in our children, we should be compassionate, eager to lead them to repentance, to Jesus. No doubt Claudius's parents were frustrated in that church service where Paul's letter was read. They couldn't concentrate on it all because he was fidgety. He was singing to himself instead of being quiet. And to their horror, even said a rude word he'd picked up from his friend's older brother. How easy it is in those situations to want to clamp down hard, yell and scream when you get home. But we parents need to remember, they're kids. They'll be irritating and embarrassing and distracting. Once we adjust our expectations, things will be easier. When we examine why we get angry and see it's because we sinfully want our life to be easy, we see the problem is really in us, not our children. And what do we do then? We remember that the family is the first gospel school, and so we teach our children. We model repentance for them. When we blow up, when we're unfair, harsh, unrelenting, arbitrary, we repent. We ask them to forgive us. We come to God as they watch, asking for His forgiveness, and we show them the assurance we can have that we are forgiven because of the blood that has been shed for us. The family is the first gospel school, so parents are to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, this is your primary role. It's great if your kids are good at maths, reading, sport, or music. But what you should really want for them is to know and believe the gospel. You're to discipline and instruct towards that end. This isn't something to leave to the church. The church has a role to play. Sunday school, youth group, they are great helps. But you're their main teacher. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says, you shall teach them, these words of God, diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You might think that this is too late. Your children have left the house and they're not following the Lord. But you can talk about your faith. Mention how glad you are that Jesus is in control. Tell them how peaceful it is to know that you're forgiven through Jesus. It's not too late. If you feel like you failed, repent and do what you can now. Pray and speak of Christ to them. Don't wallow in self-pity. Rest in the forgiveness of Christ and press on. If your children are still in your home or you anticipate having children one day, how can you make sure your family is the best gospel school it can be for your children? Beck and I are by no means perfect. We're not perfect examples. But here's what we do. We pray regularly, every day with the kids, over meals, before we read the Bible with them, before they go to bed. We pray for their salvation, for other people, for understanding of the Bible. We model prayer, and we have them pray. We read We read the Bible. We read kids' story Bibles. We talk about it. Nothing complicated. We sing. We don't do this very often anymore. Hopefully we'll pick it up again. But we sing hymns and Christian kids' songs. We teach them truths from the Bible through song. We pray, read, and sing. This is something everyone can do, even if you don't have children at home. Husbands, why not do this with your wife? Start with 5 minutes of this family worship each morning or night or over lunch. Pray, read, and sing. This won't guarantee our children will come to Christ. But let's expose them to the gospel, modelling his love, repentance, rejoicing in forgiveness through the cross. And if they're not at home, let's keep pouring out prayers to the Father for them. The family is the first gospel school. Eventually our kids will be able to go back to their school, but our home will still be the first gospel school, the main place they learn the gospel. And when they leave our home, it'll still be a place of prayer, reading, and singing. Because even without the kids in the home, the family is the first gospel school, and we never stop learning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you speak to us about our relationships. Your gospel gives us glorious forgiveness for and victory over our sins. And it has such far-reaching implications for how we live our lives, even to the nitty-gritty of home life. May we honour you in how we relate to our family. Please forgive us for the many times where we fail. May even the youngest child among us learn that your will for them is obedience. And may you empower each of us, through your Spirit, to obey you with joy, knowing the forgiveness that's been won for us by Jesus' sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. This Thursday at 7:45 p.m, you can join me online, where I'll be running Christianity Explored. Christianity Explored is a 7-week course, completely free, which answers the big questions about Christianity by looking at Jesus, his life, his teaching, his death and resurrection. That's going to be on Zoom. And so if you're interested in finding out more about Jesus and about Christianity, then please do join us for Christianity Explored. If you're interested in Christianity Explored, or you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.